What's up, guys? Welcome to Beyond the Gym Floor. Today we have a special guest in the house. Jess is here, which will be a more featured guest moving forward as we've moved our recording days just to suit her. It all really just revolves around her. So today we talk about some stuff I can't say because you have to listen to the Apple actual episode because we have an announcement if you missed Barbells and Banter last week where we had the biggest announcement potentially ever on STC Fit. And we talk about that. So Jess talks about life in a career as a mum. We also talk about what it actually takes to make it as a personal trainer and the biggest pieces of advice we could give to people in their first year and starting out. Don't forget to, obviously, whatever app you're on right now, hit subscribe or follow or something because it really helps with our reach and we appreciate it. Cheers.
I need to do what I need to do to make sure I feel attractive.
That's
right.
Someone else does too, you know. That's the way I see it. It's just like,
yeah,
suckers.
Yeah, you know? Do you know what? Do you know what it is? I actually think my wife's really hot.
Oh, I see all the reacher.
So I'm like, I must be doing okay.
Are you all the reacher in the...
Yeah, but I'm still like, I'm obviously...
That?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
That's such a hard conversation to
who's
have.
Who's the settler? Who's the reacher?
Yes, I definitely am. But also, I'm all, like at least good enough.
Yeah.
Did you approach Steph?
Yeah. I called it first.
Yeah.
Absolutely no surprise to anybody. I slid Bryce's DMs.
We should go for coffee.
Yeah.
Hey, King.
You guys need to listen to last Wednesday's episode to get that joke.
We should go for coffee, Bryce.
The old sorry reply.
That's it.
Nice.
No, but it was definitely like a... It wasn't a thirst trap, but it was something about like women being approached in the gym. He did a story on that and I was like, yeah, go off, King. And I was like, Bryce, how many people replied to that story?
Yeah.
He was like, a lot.
Yeah.
So you
am I number one on his story like thing now, his list?
He does say that you are a big fan.
Yeah. They have a list of people that like all their stories.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm a bit...
No, well, we like keep...
I'm way down the list on that one. I fucking don't like no one.
We keep mental notes. But yeah, you're one of Bryce's boyfriends now.
I messaged Bryce and I'm like, I'm a make number one on this list.
Yeah.
So I give him hard eyes all the time.
Yeah.
And a story like... I give him hard eyes when it's Parker and then I just like...
Yeah, it's a good way to a man's heart. Just got to compliment the muscles and you'll be straight up there.
Look at Swole King.
Yeah, then he...
I don't think you can comment... Either that or if they have a beard... Beard's looking sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the other thing? It was like looking fuckable, King.
I just want to put out
Project Fuckable.
A formal warning. And I've been going to make a reel on this for ages and I just haven't done it. So, Tam, maybe clip this for me.
Sure.
This is a formal warning to all the men out there using King ironically.
Like?
Because in 2014, Jason and I used to walk around the gym saying bro, ironically.
Yeah.
To make fun of people that said bro.
Did we?
And how many years later is it? 6, 7, 8 years later? Now bro is just part of our vocabulary. So I need you all to understand that King is going to become part of your vocabulary.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming. And you need to be willing to accept that fate.
100%.
If you're going to play with it.
I'm so in on bro, I don't think I can change.
Oh, definitely
not. I was just
not.
Like, it's Jason's fucking... like, oh, that was me from the beginning.
It wasn't ironic. It wasn't ironic for me.
I was like, so all those times Ben's been making fun of me.
No, it was like, I reckon there was like 6 months where the whole gym was just saying it as a laugh and then it just became...
You know what it is? Like, there's people who use bro who are genuine meatheads.
Yeah.
And then there's people that say bro who somewhat like to read PubMed and aren't big and strong, who use bro as derogatory term.
And I think that was the thing, it was like, that was the time where we were anti-bro, like it was bro science.
Yeah,
it
do
was
40 the bro sets, diet, do 40 sets workout. Of yeah. back
whenever
know, in, a,
internet,
in a session.
Yeah.
So whenever internet language makes its way to the world, everyone teases it first.
Yeah.
Like, you think I don't hate myself for saying slay? But it's here and it's not going anywhere.
That's hilarious.
That's like a word that I just don't know how to use.
Slay?
I know.
We probably shouldn't.
You have, though.
Yeah.
You used it in front of 30 people.
And it's dangerous. Because it could. That's what happens. You say it once, and you get a good laugh. So you say it again, and then you end up like Jess. Yeah. You say it all the time.
I would. I don't think I'd ever get that.
Wow, I can't believe you'd want to end up like Jess.
Welcome to the podcast, Jess.
Slay. Look, gotta just, you know, it's uppers and downers. We've got to bring you down sometimes. All right?
I just got called big dog before, and now I'm getting told you don't want to end up like Jess.
It's the pendulum.
Yeah,
it's the universe balancing itself out. Yeah.
Get one back for us, middle aged
people. Get her there.
You'll always be older than me, though.
It's true.
Forever.
I don't have to always say slay, but you will always be old.
That's forever older.
It's very true.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Welcome, Jess.
Hi.
Hello.
Now, if you haven't, there's two topics I want to talk about today, but if you haven't listened to last Wednesday's Barbells and Banter episode, which have news for you.
She would have.
Which is that my wife is pregnant.
Yay.
She's now 14 weeks.
Congratulations.
So you go listen to the announcement.
Jess
actually cried the first time. It's pretty cool.
You had to. You have to watch it.
Yeah. So go tune into that. And I thought we could do a little bit today. Jason's just going to take a nap.
I'm just going to message my clients. Get a message. Yeah. Muscle worship my clients.
We talk about, obviously, sustainability of career in the fitness industry all the time. And I would suggest that being a sole trader, personal trainer, and having a child, particularly as a woman, is quite challenging, but financially and et cetera. So I thought it'd be cool to maybe offer some insights into that, and then we'll talk about like how to make your first $1,000 and stuff for all the new female PTs that are like, yeah, but I want to have a family one day. And just to remind them to actually run a fucking business so they can.
I think I can do that.
Go.
No.
What was your experience like? My understanding, how had you planned your career around, like from when you found out you were pregnant to coming back and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, like let it be known that when I started as a PT, all my money went to doing my hair, nails, and not, you know, all of that stuff, like drinking on the weekends, and I wasn't thinking about it. I think that, like, there was definitely a sense of, well, go Indy.
Simple Jason.
Yeah.
I knew she would stay there. Yeah, for the ear people, Indy is occupying one of the podcast seats.
She's the favorite guest today, and then I'm the second host.
Let's do a bit of a pan over on Jess's cam.
Watch it on YouTube so you can see the dogs.
I think that, so if we're talking like logistically and you're a PT, you know that it might be something in your future, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, having a child, but just having the ability to step away from physically having to attend to your clients or physically having to attend to your computer if you're online as well. I think that the most important thing is, and I feel like it goes without saying, but something as simple that we would often overlook is even just like contracts.
Yeah.
And something like that, where like that's still something that in face-to-face is something like people are scared to bring it in. And like when I interview people that apply for the mentorship, it's like yeah, but like my clients will leave me if I do that. And, you know, so I still feel like getting over that initial, like having that long-term mentality with your clients is definitely going to be the first step, and having things like contracts in place if they're going to be the client for you and you can give them something that they can look at long-term. Having something like that in place is definitely going to be the most important thing first up.
Does that break your brain? That like that's still a thing. Like in my head, when I hear don't have direct debit, don't have a contract, like don't have like terms and conditions, I'm just like, what do you mean?
Yeah, that's why I brought it up first though, because it's so like we just take for granted, right? Like, well, I run a legitimate business, and you know, if I'm signing a phone contract, I don't have an issue with signing my life away for 3 years because I know that I'm going to get XYZ for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, PT is just, I think it comes down to undervaluing what they have though, and just being like, well, if they're not going to come to do all their own money story, which is just like a whole other topic of conversation altogether, not feeling they're worth something because they wouldn't spend it on something, and like that's just the whole thing. But yeah, I think that that's so one, having contracts and legitimizing yourself in that sense. So, you know, be do have, if you can act like a business owner would, you'll behave like a business owner does and get the rewards that business owners do have, which is stability.
Yeah. Actions breed outcomes.
Totally. Yeah. So that's why I think I would start there, like right at the beginning. Then if you know that it's your intention, like I didn't intend to have like months and months and months off.
Mm.
I worked like right up, I was online. So I worked right up until the end, but I did intend on not necessarily not speaking to, but there was at least 6 weeks there where I was like, I'm not coach. Like, yeah. I do not talk to me about coaching for 6 weeks. Like, I...
Yeah.
No. So in that instance, I think having the systems in place where your clients still receive everything that they would typically receive in your service without your personalized message to them. Yeah, yeah. Without the check-in. Yeah. So however you deliver that.
Which means your service needs to be fucking good.
Right. So they still need to be able to. And I think it's like keeping it as normal for them as possible is the key.
Mm.
So I think like my clients were still, you know, they were still logging onto the same app. They were still accessing the same style of programs. They were still, you know, everything done there for me. Their program still had my notes and they were still getting programs updated when they were doing it because you have a system and you systemize things and you set yourself up.
Yeah.
And I think in that instance, it would be like, if you were doing face-to-face, it would be like a little bit different in the like physically being there, but not that different at all either. So you still have to make sure that they have you.
Yeah.
You might need to create extra resources that you can release while you're away. So they're still getting new things and stuff like that. So I think setting yourself up with a business that, which we always say, can run without you being in it is going to be key in that instance. So I personally had, you know, I mean, I feel like any good coach, like kind of plans their clients, you know, their macro training plan around their goals. So I already had that, but the only thing I had to do differently was refine it and say to them, like, when I'm away, your next program's going to roll out. If there is anything you need to change, I've worded them up. They had a video. I had conversations with all of my clients before I went away.
Yeah.
Just so like everything was super clear. And that was all like, that was automatically going to roll out to them anyway. They still felt supported and loved and valued.
Yeah.
Regardless of me being there, because they still had my service.
It's so funny. Like, we talk about so all of this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where you know, like you said, like, I didn't manage my money. I didn't do this when I was younger.
Totally. Blah, blah, blah.
And it's like all of the same things that you just said apply to everyone who wants to go to Europe this year.
100%.
Yeah.
You don't have to want to have a kid. You just want to have to step away from your business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
God forbid, like, shit goes wrong too.
Totally.
Like, there's, if you fucking break a leg, you can't go train people. What do you do?
Yeah.
And you can't rebuild your business in the hospital with your broken leg. It's too late.
No.
So I think the rewards we get as business owners, which is Friday afternoons off and whatever else, choosing your own hours and like the money in personal training, for regardless of what anyone fucking says, is really good.
Yeah.
For a certificate 4 level education.
Yes.
Yeah. There's not many people out there that can do that. The trade-off is you have to be an adult.
Yeah.
If you want to do adult things. Like,
and on
go
that,
on holidays, take time off, have a child.
And buy on a house. That, to continue from there, the importance of, and I think that this is so often overlooked, and I can bring this whole like feminist argument into it anyway, but I'm like, ladies, pay your fucking super.
Mm.
Because the time that you're not working, that compounded interest is going to affect you in the future, and we don't want to, you know, significantly be, or, you know, if you do have a partner, get them to help out there as well. But then the whole other thing is, if you are wanting to get paid by the government, and you do not have, I think it's like 30 out of 52 weeks worth of legitimate work on paper.
Yeah.
I think 30 is roughly, 30 or 40 is like the number.
Sorry, go
if on. You don't have that on paper and you cannot prove to the government that you earn an income, therefore pay tax, you're not going to get paid maternity leave either.
Yeah. So that maternity leave is one thing I wanted to talk about.
Or paid parental leave.
Yeah.
Male and female can apply for that. And I think that male personal trainers should listen as well because you don't have to keep working just because your partner's
off. It's the same total though, unfortunately. I was like, fuck, can I get some too? No. It's just a total allocated amount for the couple.
Oh, for the couple. Okay.
But it's more than men used to get. So it's
the same amount of time?
No, so I think
like if you're employed now, you get like two weeks.
So it doesn't matter if it's male or
it's paid. I think the women, it was like 16 weeks or 20. It was something like that.
Yeah.
And the men was 2 weeks, but they've combined it to give 24 weeks or something like that. Now. Sense.
Basically, what it is it's $16,000.
Yeah.
Distributed.
And then if dad wants to take 4 weeks,
he can take
mom gets 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's 24 to allocate, and you use it however you want. So when you're self-employed, you can actually opt to get it paid out as a lump sum as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. If you have your shit together.
You buy Bitcoin with it.
A $16,000 cash injection into your life is pretty fucking useful.
It's so much better this way now. Like, the increased amount, even with, like, the second partner added, the increased amount is so much better because it's just so necessary sometimes. But at the end of the day, you don't want to get to the position where you're already pregnant to find out that you can't apply for it in general.
Especially if you think you had that, you would have got that support. Yeah. Like you're entitled to support.
So we actually had the total opposite. I can remember being, this is how like life-changing a moment it was for me, driving home from the city with Amy. And she's like, oh, no, I'm pretty sure I get parental leave. I'm like, as self-employed, who's going to pay it?
I never thought that.
And then we looked it up and she was like, yeah, I get this much. And I was like,
all those taxpaying dollars. Fuck?
And then, we spoke to her accountant. It's like, oh, you only need to show when everything's legitimate.
Yeah.
You only need to show this many hours. And then there was even...
Is it means tested or income?
No.
Some people may be able to continue to earn income during that time, despite they're not being supposed to, because you can set things up that happens. Please don't come after me, ATO.
Yeah.
Someone else is doing this. That you can still accrue an income. So like Jess said, you still got clients on the books, they're paying something off instead of paying for the work you did that week.
Can't give that advice.
Definitely not. That's definitely not advice for me. Speak to your accountant. But yeah, that was a huge shock to me.
Yeah.
But I think budgeting in general, like even outside of the super, having your financial, like we talk about budgeting all the time.
Yeah.
Being in a position where like you can deal with that kind of situation?
Well, yeah, like let it be known that I was terrible and like I know my partner was terrible. Like I had sorted out my money story before Bryce and I got together. But he like, got everything together and we were in a really good position and we were very fortunate that having a child was a conscious decision that we planned for and all of that. No, it doesn't always happen that way for people, which is even more important to make sure your shit's together because you don't fucking know what's going to happen.
Whoops has happened.
But yeah, I think that continuing to pay your super, making sure you're getting everything paid, knowing what things are out there to have the help. And then if for whatever reason you don't even qualify for the help, like what level of service can you still provide while you're away that you can still earn an income from? Because I wasn't earning the same amount because my physical labor wasn't in that time. So the amount was,
Reduced.
Yeah. But all of my clients, when explaining to them what service they would still be getting, were more than happy to pay for an amount that I had pre-described. Yeah. And I think, if you can tick those things off and at the end of the day, just comes down to having the paperwork to back the business that you run.
Yeah, which comes from running a business. Precisely. Yeah, because it's hilarious. We didn't even have the discussion of like, you've got to show this, we've got to do it, because it's just like,
it's all there.
It's all there. It's all there. Everything's documented. Like, it's wild.
Easy. It's easier.
Yeah, when you just set it up properly in the first place.
People will think it's hard to book an accountant appointment and have like an ongoing relationship with the accountant, but they don't know what hard is until they're going to have a child and not know what to do.
Well, I'm going to go in for that for the people that aren't going
to have children. Yeah, I keep trying to bring in the non-child.
I don't want
to
be that person anyway. No. But it's like even for the people that aren't in that position or maybe it's not for them or whatever, you still have to operate a legitimate business because at some point you're going to have to lean on the system to do whatever. Like, you're going to want to purchase a car through the business. You might have, be able to lease it, which is might be a better position for you financially if you speak to an accountant or a financial advisor or whoever. You might have to, you know, it's highly likely that you're going to have to take a loan out to buy your home.
Yeah.
So you need to provide income showing the bank that you have, they have the confidence that you're going to pay the loan off.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to, you know, maybe you're not interested in renting for the rest of your life or living at home with mum and dad until they give you the house.
Or not paying cash for cars for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's it. Like, yeah, there's just so many situations even I've been in where like poor financial organization, regardless of whether I wasn't reckless spending my money, but I was just reckless in like, not reckless, but
keeping
just
track of it.
Naive in storing it. It was just like in a shoebox in my bed.
Yeah.
Near my bed. It was like the dumbest thing you could do and just could not prove the income that I needed to like, you know, go for a loan, hire, you know, get a car or buy a house.
I've been in the exact same position.
And like, that sets you back. It like can set you back like a couple of years. You
know? I had to lean on Bryce when we had first gotten together for a small personal loan.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, there were small things that were missing.
Yeah.
And like I've been there and I think that it's more... all the more reason that legitimizes our word that it's like it doesn't have to be the way things are right now forever. Like I lived week to week for so long. Like I moved out when I was 17.
Yeah.
And then you get into a job like PT when you're like a really – like let's keep in mind I also studied at uni and I did all of these other things where I wasn't – I used to work overnights at McDonald's to earn money. So like I've never – because I had to pay rent. So like it's not – I've never been scared of working hard, but then I think – like when you come into a job like PT where working hard as a personal trainer versus working hard in hospitality that you're not passionate about is two completely different things. So you kind of just ride that wave of I have it so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can pay someone to wash my hair every week while I'm getting my nails done and doing all of these things that I used to like do. But it's like, yeah, you can still live that life, but can you please make sure that you're putting your super away and can you please make sure that your tax is in line so that when your tax rolls around, like this time of year rolls around. I had, that was a discussion of the week with the weekly mentorship call. It was like, okay, so how are you feeling with submitting your income statements? How are you feeling about this? And, you know, it's great because one of the people in the mentorship was an accountant. So she's just like,
sorted.
Guys, make sure you do X, Y, Z. But like, I just think it's just such a making sure that you can talk about money and talk about business and talk about contracts and not feel yucky or icky or.
Yeah, I think that's such a big part of it. We've been talking about sales a lot lately because it's a big topic at the moment, and we're like having a silent beef.
I stay out.
But I think that what you've mentioned the term like money story and stuff. One of the things we do in Standout is like, there's a specific unit that's dedicated to understanding why you view money the way that you do.
Yeah.
Whether you're scared of it, whether you, whatever it is. One of the things we talked about with sales that you sort of touched on was like asking someone for money that they can't afford or you couldn't afford to pay.
Yeah.
And that's a huge kind of obstacle to get over. So all of this stuff is just understanding like we've had, I remember doing the budget workshop in Standout one time and one of the guys was like, and I when he said it, I was like, fuck, I felt like that for so long and it fucked me for so long. He was just like, oh, but my long-term savings is only like $35 a week. It's like, it's a waste of time. I'm like, it's not.
It's never a waste of time.
It's not. It's the habit. It's the perception. It's the same as training. It's like, it's the wins. It's like when that turns into $100 for the first time, when it turns into $1,000 for the first time, you're like, oh, that's accumulating. And then all of a sudden you become motivated by the fact that it's accumulating. So then you do it more and you prioritize it more. And then instead of $30 a week.
Decision making as well, even outside of where you spend money.
Yeah, it's like, oh, do I need to spend $400 a week on this car or could I drive something else and put $200 into that, which also makes me feel really, really good.
Yeah. And I think her name's Victoria Devine. She has a podcast, TV show, like all this called She's on the Money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I follow her on Threads.
She's unreal.
Shout out to Threads.
Shout out to Threads. Ben's new favorite platform. But she'll like always say, like, if you can't handle earning $250 a week and learning how to budget $250, you're not going to learn $25,000.
It's true. It's not going to change.
So if you can put $5 aside every single week into your long-term savings, that's only going to, you're going to be able to do that. Just if you look at it as ratios and percentages rather than like fixed the amounts.
Yeah,
it's going to.
If you're young and you're ambitious and like I was, it's just like, I'll just make more. It's like, I'll just make more.
No, I fucked myself over for so many years thinking like that.
Yeah. And well, I did. Yeah. I just spent it all. Yeah. Just spent it on better shit.
Yeah. Your taste improves when it improves. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah. It's like
my dad shoes that aren't even dad shoes. Yeah. Now.
My VE Commodore turned into a Mercedes. Like, and I don't regret that decision at all. But
what
it's
a
like,
jump.
That was called, that was called I Live in Essendon, not Shepparton anymore.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah. And I need to really, really solidify that my neighbor thinks I'm a drug dealer.
Do you remember when I was like, do you remember that conversation where I was like, wait,
we can do that?
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, bro.
There's this thing. It's called a balloon. That was, and they just give you stuff.
That was us. I think that was yours and my like kind of leap out of like being poor.
Yeah. There's
just
that.
Like mentally.
There's
just
that.
Like, wait, we can have nice shit.
I can't even remember what it was.
Wholesome.
Oh, it was.
Oh, it was the deadlift jack. We broke a deadlift jack and dad was like, gonna go to some engineer to get some bolts and like put it all back together. And I was just like, we were all at my place for Ali, I think, for a treatment. And I was like, just fucking buy a new one. We're not poor anymore.
Yeah.
And Jace just lost his shit. It's like, oh, okay. That's a step in our life where we don't actually have to repair the thing that's fucked.
Repairing it is the first step. And then after it, it's like, oh, actually, we can just buy
just
a new
get
one.
Another
yeah.
one. Yeah.
Whereas like, if this thing isn't falling apart, we have to fix it.
Yeah, we don't DIY.
Me 4 hours of time to fuck around. It's like, oh, just get another one.
Yeah.
But don't leave the door open when the heater's on.
Fuck. No, don't do that. You don't, no.
That's the cardinal sin.
My new heater.
Yeah.
Zones.
So good, isn't
so
it?
So excited.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Zones
yet,
are good.
Because I turned it on once this morning.
Zones are good.
But I'm very excited to have zoned heating in my house.
We only have one story, like each floor.
Yeah.
But it's still handy because you only need to put the bottom one on and the heat goes up.
Yeah. So we have.
Saves a lot of money.
All I did was look at the thing this morning and it had 3 different zones on it.
Is it reverse cycle?
No, we're getting splitties though.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Splitties are on the way.
I live in a house that's like 60 years old. So
Yeah.
Insulation. What's that?
Oh, and like the homeowner's extended. So like when I'm in the office, I'm like, there is zero insulation in here. I've got my dog sitting on my lap and I've got blankets on and things, but it's fine. If Parker's room's extra hot, so we'd have to make sure he doesn't cook when the heater's on, and that's fine.
Just have a bedroom like that.
Yeah.
If I didn't turn the oil heater on early enough that I remembered, my pillow would be like wet with dew. It'd be so cold because it's had like the lever windows.
Yeah.
It was like, used to be a veranda, and then I was just like, we'll just put some fibro walls, and now it's a room. It's like, is it though?
it's not really element proof.
I feel like that really detoured. But that's fine. That's what's going to happen. That whole
that's
conversation.
The goal.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah.
So from
think
the bottom, now we're here.
That's it.
This is the first time in my life I'm being celebrated for going on tangents. I don't know if you guys know this, but I don't shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's kind of what we do now.
We know. And that's why you're here.
Yeah, feedback has been positive. Yeah. What's up, guys? You're listening to the STC Fit Learning Podcast brought to you by ourselves. Feel free to go check out our website, so stcfitlearning.com. On there, we have a bunch of free resources, including how to niche your business, how to actually sell during consults, and a free programming template, plus our business scorecard, which you can go and take and see how you stack up in the industry based on what we think is elite and how to become the best trainer in your gym, in your town, and in the industry. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. If you take a screenshot and tag us, we really, really appreciate it. It really helps get this message out to help improve our industry and keep people in their personal training careers. Enjoy the app. What was life like? We talked about sleep in the other episode.
I didn't talk about sleep on purpose in the last episode.
What were the biggest challenges coming back?
Feeling like the biggest challenge, which kind of isn't business related, the biggest challenge was feeling like I'm way too important to this little person to take time away to do this thing, which is my other baby.
Yeah.
So that was like the biggest push and pull. It was, I planned it that I, what's the word that I'm, I bought clients on bit by bit. What's the word I'm looking for there?
Onboarded?
Graded it?
Yeah, so I graded the onboarding process. So, like, I only brought a couple people back at a time so I, like, wouldn't overwhelm myself not knowing how much time in the day you kind of actually do have when you got a newborn because it's... And, like, any new mum listening would be like, shut the fuck up.
Well, they sleep a lot or something or...?
They sleep legitimately, like, 22 out of 24 hours a day. So, yeah, like, they sleep the whole time.
So when
and
they
like,
say it's hard, they're... Yeah.
It's hard because, and I think like second time mums are like, oh my God, no, this is like the easy part now.
Yeah.
But at the time you don't think it's easy because you're like,
you don't know
this. I can't put it down. It's going to break. Like this is a whole ass fucking human. But like, at the time I was doing I don't even know if you guys know this, but I was doing like an undergraduate certificate at Monash University for like sports nutrition.
Oh yeah.
But so I was like finishing that off while Parker was a newborn and then grading my onboarding again. So I would sit there with, and I've got so many photos with like my laptop on my lap and like stuff set up and like Parker asleep next to me or like Parker on the boob because all they do is feed and like I was just doing everything with one hand. But I think that the scariest part is like you worry that you can't, that you're not the same.
Yeah.
You worry that you're like, am I doing this the way I was doing it? Like, and just really trying to prove to yourself that you can still do things the way that you did, which I think people would argue is like a different sense of bounce back culture because like your priorities changed just so heavily. Like work was always my number one, 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 one. And then Parker came along and work's still not my number one, but work's like moved its way around that's the number one way that I can give him the life that I want.
Yeah, it's a great way of thinking about
it. So it's like if I don't show up as my best self as a mum and at work, then he suffers the most.
Yeah.
Irrespective.
Opportunity starts to alter, doesn't it?
Yeah. Precisely, which is why I'm like a one and done mum because I think that with the life that I want to live as a person, as Jessica, and as Bryce, and the life that we want to live and the life that we want to provide him, this is where we're done. We can look at each other and we're like, oh, this is complete now.
Yeah.
And I can have the career progression that I want to as a mother because no matter how much support you have around you, there's so much that just cannot be replaced by mum. Mm. In my parenting style, I feel like you always have to add that when it comes to parenting. Like in my parenting style, I'm someone that does like, you know, I want to breastfeed if it's best for your health and I want to do this and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, I think wanting to make sure that you can still provide the level of service that you were when you're waking up.
Yeah.
Depending on the night. You know, you can wake up no times or you can wake up. I had a really bad night this week where Parker woke up every 30 minutes crying because he's getting his 2-year-old molars and he was sick.
Yeah.
So I woke up and I was like, I think I want to die today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like really, really hard. And the first thing I did, I was like, hey, just letting you know, I am not good. And it's just been a shit week. So I was like, oof, this is like calling the reinforcements. I have my mum. So it's like one of those things where it's like, what do I need to do to give the best level of service and still be the best mum? So your thought process, you just have so much more of a mental load.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you have to make sure that the service you're delivering can still allow for that. So doing things the way we do with check-ins, not needing to be, because I know that some people that do online coaching do like calls with their clients. There is no way I'd be able to run my business if I did calls.
When things get tough, like this, you really lean on the structure and the system of the business.
What I was trying to verbalize.
It kind of stresses that foundation.
Yeah.
You know, no different to like, you know, a really kind of heavy storm on a house, I guess is a good way of... So it's like you're really kind of like I've got a bad week, mentally tired, this and that. It's like how the service is set up and what people get and where they can access things. And sure, they can communicate with you, but you can kind of lean on that stuff a little bit more for that particular week because it's so good and you spend so much time, you're kind of building it and setting it up.
So yeah, that's where you just bring everything back to making sure your business is set up in a way that's congruent with the life that you want to live. And the way that, just the way that you can feel best supported. Because I just think like if I didn't have that set up, how am I going to, all I had to do was, you know, I pride myself on always making sure I've got like, whether it's a, not necessarily makeup on, but my hair is done in a way, I'm wearing something that is a work uniform and that's how I present in all my check-ins. I'm not a, I work from home, so I can dress like shit. No, I'm starting a work day.
It was really early this week, guys. I had to wear my hoodie. The hoodie wasn't on yet.
It was a dig. It was a dig.
I don't want to see that shit is what she's saying.
I did it once.
I just do a couple of push-ups and then put a singlet on.
Of course you do.
Every 10 minutes, I'm like, I'm going to do some more push-ups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sip on some full sugar Gatorade to make sure you can.
Yeah, that's it. Get the pump. It's like, all right, I need to show these people I'll work out.
I actually try. Yeah.
Make the camera really small so I take up most of the lens.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. That's what I do.
I've clocked it.
We've noticed. That's why your engagement's up. People are noticing.
Just need to look better now.
Oh, you can't fix
so
that.
Jace is doing 100
push-ups.
I'm so
sorry. There's nothing you can do.
Fuck. Jace is doing 100 push-ups a day and he's wondering why his shoulder's sore.
My shoulders don't know what a push-up is. Oh. Imagine that. Imagine, like, you hear the story of, like, the dude caught on the cam outside doing push-ups before he goes to the miso's house.
Yeah.
Imagine people actually did that. They probably do. Right? Surely there's someone out there. Like,
me doing, definitely. Me doing bodyweight kickbacks before I see Prime. The kickback on the stairs as I walk up to the door because Stairmaster's grow your glutes.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I think what's – when you came on 12 months ago, worked with a few mums more in a face-to-face.
Wait, came on as a client.
Yes. I worked with a few mums like face-to-face, but they weren't athletes. It wasn't a huge – training wasn't a huge priority. They worked with me because it was an appointment to show up more than anything else. And then since I've probably got, I don't know, half a dozen now, and it's like they're all high achievers in life.
Mm-hmm.
Work, training, relationships, whatever it is, they want to be their best at everything that they do, which is cool because it's the culture that we try and create. And to watch, it's been cool for me to watch that. And we spoke about it, I think, on the last episode, to be like, sometimes I see personal trainers like, we shout on the to-do list thing. And I used you as an example. I was like, motherfucker, Jess has done your whole day between 5 and 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And then her day starts.
I was still in bed when she was rolling up the driveway.
It's like you just, you don't.
But I'm in like such two minds about this, right? Like I kind of dabbled in posting about it on Threads and then I was like, no, because I feel like it's wanky. But then I'm like, I almost dropped the C word then. Like if you.
Do it.
That's it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Sure.
No, it's like, got to flow though. It's going to flow.
No, because like literally, because I look at
full effect.
I look at people that go and post like the things, you know, it's like the biggest rife of the podcast at the moment. People posting, taking time out of their day to post the things that they're going to do, which puts off them doing it. And like, all of those things. And I'm like, cunt, I've literally done a fucking half days of work. I've showered, put makeup on, shown up at my desk, done my work. I am hidden in an office at the back of the house because I want to be finished and only have to just touch my phone to reply to people throughout the day so I can show up as a good mum and not have that in the back of my mind for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I always have my phone near me so I can reply to messages. But I look at these people, I'm like, you're doing that between 8 and 5 and I've literally done it between 5 and 8.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, and it's not because I'm a fucking super, like, I'm just a normal person. But it's like, oh no, this is the life I want to live.
Yeah.
And if it means that I'm exhausted, don't get me wrong, Bryce and I were like, I woke up at 5:30 today and so did Bryce and we woke up, didn't have Parker last night and we were like, you can just do things slow. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's nice. It's a nice way to live, but that's not the life I want to live because I like my slow being that if I have to read my son the same fucking tractor book for the seventh time in a row, I can do that without having to be like, I'm so sorry, babe. Like, I need to go do this for work.
Yeah.
And I can put him in childcare and he's going to start going to occasional care, but it's really cool that the work ethic versus and the systems and the workplace, because everything's a conscious choice, could still allow for me to do that stuff and be like, yeah, my son's turning 2 and I didn't put him in childcare because I can work full time and earn a full time income without him being affected by it.
It's so interesting how environment
and training as well
can change your behavior, your view of the world, your attitude. Like, I don't think anyone who posts these like big to-do lists and shits, like, they're just not aware. It's like, they're not, we see it and we're like, motherfucker, you don't even understand. But for them, it's busy. Busy is busy. I used to have a friend in high school who was just like the molly coddled kid.
Yeah.
It's like so well, like just the mummy's boy. Everything's like perfect.
I'm so sorry
for
that
you.
He's talking about you in front of you, Jason.
If you knew anything friends. About my childhood, yeah. It's far
not
from
that.
That.
Not that.
No.
It's all right. That was me.
Yeah. And it was just.
Tam has
I'll
entered
take,
the
I'll take
chat.
That one.
Yeah. But. When there
we
was
say,
like,
we say it in utter jealousy, Tam.
When there was anything wrong, he just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
I remember like a girl said no to him and it was like he was depressed for 6 months.
Yeah.
And it was just like, bro, like.
Sorry that happened to you,
Tam. I wasn't that bad.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, just, but anything like,
yeah.
He's, something happened to his clothes or he was late
conflict.
Or
it's
whatever.
It's just adversity.
Just
adversity just
fucking,
yeah.
couldn't, no matter how big or small.
It didn't go the way he planned it to in his
kid.
Head. Yeah.
So something. Like incredibly horrible happened in his life. But I reckon it was a year after we left school and just totally different kid.
Yeah.
Because it's like what was hard is not hard anymore.
Yeah.
Once you face like family cancer and shit, it's like you that's fucking
yeah.
Once you face that, the
everything
the girl
is
yeah. yeah, it's like
who fucking cares?
There's
like,
heaps more.
Yeah, yeah, just totally changed yeah. his perspective on life. But- and I've spoken to like shouts out to Max from the Performance Hub. I'm sure he's happy for me to share his insights. I just quote people and just tell everyone who yeah, it was.
They probably hate you.
Fuck them.
Yeah, that person's like... Mm.
If you're not happy with me quoting it, I don't care.
Don't fucking
yeah, but it's
talk
like
about
you don't pass it off as your own.
Well, that's it. So
yeah,
I spoke to him
what
about
would you
it. And
yeah,
he was like...
Dr. Ben Scott.
I was like, how do you deal with having a little one? They'd open a gym. He was coaching. I was like, how do you fucking deal with it? He goes, you just work when you can.
Yeah.
It's just a response. It's just like, yeah. baby's asleep, work.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Baby's out, work. Like, there's just that frame of mind. Like, and I've heard you say it, like, recently you were sort of like, I need to, when I have the opportunity to get something done, don't say, I can do that on Thursday, because you don't know what Thursday's going to be like. Just 100%. Do it straight away.
You can't, like, you know, it's really hard. Like, I'm not going to undermine that it's, like, not hard, but, like, your downtime looks really different because my downtime is looking after Parker, which I don't know if anyone's ever met a 20-month-old, but that's not really relaxing, you know? It's fulfilling, but I'm fucking exhausted. But, like, when, you know, Bryce works, like say, 9 to 5, by the time he gets home at, like, 5:30, that's his time because he's got to have Parker in the morning while I'm yep. doing my training or working or both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, and you know, we just weren't, not that we won't compromise our training because training looks really different. I don't train for an hour and a half and blah, blah, blah. So like, yes, we've made compromises. But then in the evening when I would love to be like, hey, babe,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
your turn now.
Yeah.
No, like I can't because you can sit there and argue with your partner over, which we've been really, really conscious of since awesome. Parker was born. Like both of us have it hard. Mm. Both of us have
that's
it hard.
Competition.
No one's got it harder. Exactly yeah, right. Yeah. We are a team.
Yeah, I think that's important all in relationships in general. But
oh,
yeah,
and
so
like
aware,
on the days
babies.
Where you're like, oh my God, I woke up and I didn't get any sleep last night and I did this. Yeah, that sucked. But I can imagine being away from your child from 9 to 5 and only getting them when they're upset because they miss mum and like, oh,
yeah.
everyone's got it hard. But like, you know, yeah. work in the morning, Bryce has gone all day. So that's Parker time, work in his nap. Mm. If he's happy to sit down and I've got something like it's a Monday and check-ins are due or whatever, sometimes he'll let me use my laptop next to him where I can do everything except record the videos.
Yeah.
So I get as much as I can lined up or sometimes I'm on my phone getting a post planned.
Yeah.
Like if he's entertained by yeah. himself, then in the evening, it's like, all right, Bryce, you feed him dinner while you eat your pre-training meal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, cool. Bath, bed, done. Jump back on the computer. Do what you can so you can train tomorrow morning instead of having to work.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's no downtime, but everyone makes it work.
Yeah.
It's doable and it's fulfilling and it's all of those things because, yeah, I just can't see anything worse than only having that one aspect of life.
All of that still doesn't work if your business is scrambled eggs.
Exactly. Because
yeah.
can you imagine I was nah. spending that time it's having to work
so
on my...
on you.
Yeah. Having to work on... Don't get me wrong. Like everyone should be working on their business, but differently. Like if I'm having to try and change... No, not
build
change. Create systems
yeah.
while my head is not working because I'm like, all right, cool. So we've got like two appointments today and then I've got to take him to swimming and then I've got to do this and then I've got to X, Y, Z and I'm mentally trying to do that. Oh, fuck, but I've got to do my check-ins because they're all due today and I've got calls with my clients and like yeah. you've got all these things that are already running shit. Mm. You're just going to continue to produce shit anyway.
Yeah.
It's not going to get better. You're yeah. just going to be trying to float above water and like tread like, water as much as you can.
I've got to chase this person for this much money. This is going in here. This is yeah. going in there. Like, it's just
fuck,
the spiral.
They didn't pay me today. Yeah. When, yeah. what client's paying what on this day?
Correct. It's yeah. just the spiral.
They bought a pack. How many have they done? Mm. How yeah. many have they not done?
It's oh. just the spiral of yuck. Bad decisions.
And I forgot, once again, I forgot that that's a way that people do things as well.
Yeah, I do too normally. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like training. We think that training, how we train is, it's like, no.
Yeah.
People just walk in the gym and just pick what they want to do. So they do the same thing with their business.
Yeah. yeah.
Just try and work it out. Just trade yeah. themselves for entertainment or yeah. some form yeah. of value for a certain period of time.
Yeah, it's so interesting how I just flip-flop on this stuff so much. It's like, so we like I look at someone, a young personal trainer, I don't mean this disrespectfully, I'm going to save it in a minute, who's like doing 30 sessions a week. And they're just like, oh, I'm just so busy. I'm so like worn out. Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And like we've talked about it before, like online coaches that say yeah. they're so busy. It's like, what?
Doing what?
What? What do yeah. you mean? How?
It's
what?
Not possible.
I don't know if I'm just like, but then, you know, you were saying like, depending on what adversity you've
and that's
been through.
It.
And I'm so like, yeah, but you don't have to like move out of home at 17 because rocky shit's going on and then get diagnosed with an autoimmune disease and then have to work and pay your own rent and do all... You don't have to do all of that to say life is being easy.
Yeah.
But like a fulfilling hard versus a, I don't know if this is a life I want to live anymore, so what are my options?
Yeah.
Hard.
So before we keep going, I just want to give you guys a little message about our Standout PT program. So Standout PT has been designed for personal trainers who want to sustain a long-term career in fitness, but right now they're sick of chasing clients, they're not making enough time for money, and they're super frustrated with the results that they're getting in their business, and they can't see themselves being here in 3 to 5 years' time. If you want to know more about the Standout PT program, head to stcfitlearning.com, head to programs, and all the details are there. And you can book in your free exploration call where we can have a look and see whether or not that would actually be a suitable program for where your business is at right now. And back to the episode. Yeah, so I look at those like 30 session online, I'm busy trainer, I don't have time to build my systems or like do my T's and C's document or whatever. I'm like, oh, I'm working on it. It's like, you've been working on it for 3 months. And in my head, I'm like, I can do your whole job in a day.
Yeah, like.
But I also appreciate I couldn't at some yeah. point as well. So it's a weird, yeah. it's a weird thing for me to like meet a young trainer. And I can relate to what it used to feel like doing a bunch of sessions and getting to the weekend and be like, oh my God, I'm so exhausted.
Yeah.
I can relate to that. But then I can also look at if I'm on the computer at 6:30 a.m. till 9 a.m., like I know I can do, in terms of the on the business stuff, do more than most trainers do in a week, in a day. And if I can do that 3-4 times a week, it's like, bruh.
But yeah, at the same time, it takes identifying that you can, the self-awareness
yeah.
that you can do things differently, because what you're doing now, you're not going to be able to do this time next year.
That's right. It won't be that regimented.
Yeah.
But I will be aware at least that I'll have the button to go,
exactly.
There's 2 hours I have right now.
Yeah.
Shut everything down. Yeah. Go.
Make as much impact as possible.
And that's, yeah. and like even having, you know, how we have like our Trello boards and things like that, like having your tasks that you have to do, then you need to do, like mm-hmm. making sure that they're not focusing on what you need, you know, what needs to be done eventually versus what has to be done.
Yeah.
Even if you can only do 20 minutes of that
yeah.
and like chip through it. And I think that as personal trainers, like this is, can slowly like bleed into the 1K week here. It's like, okay, cool. Like you can lay out your whole day for me. And you don't have to work this hard for the rest of your life, but you're working this hard right now because you're building it. And it's like, yeah. I know that you have that 35 minutes between those clients and you're just going to want to sit down. You're just going to finish after your client. You're going to sit down on the chairs at the gym that you work at and you'll just scroll your phone. You're like, oh yeah, I'm just going to switch off for a bit. But you could have actually made 20 minutes worth of phone calls and booked another thing
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
And at the time, I would probably have gone into the shopping center at the Good Life that I worked at and probably gone and bought sushi and slowly walked around the shops just to get out of the gym.
Talk shit about the PT manager in the PT room.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I could have done, I did do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it takes hindsight because hindsight's 20/20 and you're not supposed to see those things at certain points of your life because you have to learn from it and grow from it, which is why high school looks so easy for us now, but it's literally the most gut-wrenching, difficult thing when you're in it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think that if people don't, if they're dismissive of things and they're like, oh my God, they're just like talking with their ego, like, oh, Ben's saying, oh, your job's so easy. Like, he doesn't fucking get my life. Like, yeah, if you're going to have that mentality rather than stand on the shoulders of giants, you're going to forever be playing small because these people have been through it, walked that. And this is why mentoring helps.
Yeah. Like, take it as though you just don't know what you're capable of yet.
Totally.
It's like you think you train hard. It's like your clients think they train hard. Fuck, that is so cool.
Cute. Yeah, oof. I know.
Your client, think about when, like, if you're a personal trainer, you probably train reasonably hard, most of you. But like, what's it like when you do an AMRAP?
Yeah.
And you get found out that like, oh, actually I had X amount of reps left.
Yeah.
And then what is your, when you compare that to when your client does an AMRAP and they have 10 reps left, they think that's hard.
Yeah.
And it's not for me to say it is or it isn't, but
that's the hardest thing they did today.
It's more, I actually
didn't know how much harder it could be.
You're capable of so much more than you realize.
Totally.
We did poor Jace got left behind. We went to a workshop years ago in Sydney. And we had to...
fucked up there.
Yeah. It was basically three days in a row and all of them were 10-hour days and all of them were like lecture workshop, take notes, do shit the whole time. The Saturday night, we had a social event and then we got presented with homework that we had to bring in and present to a room of 200 people the next day. And you had to write an ebook. I think most people that had never been, thankfully we had just blogs that we could drag and drop and kind of make it pretty easily. And the guy I was with was decent at design. So it was like, bang, we were done. I think we finished at like 11:45 PM.
Yeah.
People were coming in the next day, midnight, 1 AM, 2 AM.
Scrambling.
Had 5 hours sleep. Now they got to show up to another 10 hour event. And it, like, the thing was useless.
Yeah.
It was just, see?
You can do it.
You did 10 hours yesterday and you just did maybe 15, 16. And because you paid money, you're still here today.
Yeah.
And you'll still take in everything you need to do today. And you'll be tired on Monday and that'll be okay. But you all fucking did it.
Yeah.
And I think there's just situations where you get yourself into that you expose yourself to a level of must. And then you go, oh.
Yeah, I have so much more.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and then you get old like us. And Jason and I have had the conversation in the past like, have I still got it?
I've still got it.
Have I still got that grind?
You still got it.
I've still got it.
And then, yeah, I think I know you said after you moved your house with no help.
Yeah.
And you were like, nah, I've still got it.
Yeah. Set the whole gym up ready to go for Monday. It's like, nah, I've got it.
Yeah. I've done a couple of like 6 a.m.s till 8 p.m.s lately. And I'm like, oh, it's still there.
Yeah.
If I need it, it's fucking there.
My reminder is like
crappy hospo job. That's mine.
But whenever I always thought like when I was competing as a powerlifter in my old life, I was doing well. And my fun little stat is that any sanctioned comp I did, I won a gold medal in. That's my fun little stat. But now,
little stat, she says.
My little
flex.
Clocked powerlifting.
Oh, definitely not. But then, like, now when I look at my training, I'm like, oh, at legitimately to the week, 12 weeks postpartum, my best friend and I came second in a strongman CrossFit comp that I trained 8 weeks for that had never done either sport. And then
thanks for that, by the way.
I did. You're so welcome. Told him about it the week I signed up. Hey, I was like,
I think I want to do powerlifting. Yeah, cool. 2 weeks later. Hey, so I entered this. All right.
Killed it.
Yeah.
But then after that, it was like, all right, cool. Yeah, no, like, let's get lean. Mm. And now it's like, oh, all right, I want to dabble in being strong, but I want to do a bit of running. And everything that I want to do, I can do at a level that is like not shit.
Yeah.
And I'm not the best at anything, but I'm okay at whatever I want to do now. And it's not like a flex, like, oh yeah, I follow a program, but it's like, if you gave me 2 hours to train, I'd take 2 hours to train. Yeah. But if you give me 45 minutes to train, like my flex this week was I got 4 sets of 3 deadlifts out, including my warm-ups in 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
At like well over double body weight deadlifts.
Yeah.
And I was like, still got it.
Yeah.
Still got it.
Still there.
But I would never have fathomed doing something like that because I'm like, what do you mean? I haven't finished my bird dogs yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not done with my foam rolling. Yeah, it's so interesting that I think about like competing now. I'm like, I used to be in the gym 12 to 16 hours a week.
Yeah.
Like, where the fuck? How?
Yeah.
Now I'm like, where? How? I don't even know where that time is. And then every now and then we're like, what's wrong? We're playing golf twice a week. What's going on? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting dynamic. So 6 months mentoring now.
Yeah.
What are...
I love talking about myself.
What are the biggest... What do you think Well, we did the advice thing with training.
Hmm.
If there's 3 things that you would want to pass on to every single personal trainer that's getting qualified in the next 6 months,
mm-hmm.
outside do the STC mentorship.
Yeah.
Positions available, go to stcfit.com.
If I like you.
And find the mentorship. And
if I let you in,
Jess will decide if you're worth it.
And I will interview you.
Yeah.
You shall not pass,
et
cetera, et cetera.
Instantly terrified.
What are the 3 things you think determine whether someone's going to be successful or not?
Okay. I think that.
Hang on. That they can work on? Or like
just
personality? Yeah, okay.
Because I think you can work on everything.
Right.
I think personality.
Yeah, because I can sit here and lay out all the pillars of the things, the step-by-step things that I believe that you need to do. But I think if I had to give the most practical advice, which is the pillars shrunk down a little bit.
Mm.
One, I would say, it's going to sound so dumb, but it's like our thing. Do the fucking thing.
Yep.
So if you can sit there and know, and the thing that you guys always say, if I told you if you made X amount of phone calls, you would have a full book of clients. Would you do that? And people say yes, but then don't practically do the thing. So if you know the information's out there, which there's a lot of free accessible information out there, to sit down and do the work. Work on your business from the beginning. Lay those foundations from the beginning. That would be the number one piece of advice there. The second one, depending on who you speak to, would potentially be controversial, but it's please stop worrying about what you look like on the internet.
Mm.
If you're a face-to-face personal, starting out as a face-to-face personal trainer.
Yeah.
I think that there are so many other important things to work on first.
Mm.
Being somebody that trains and posting about your own training is almost enough.
Yep.
In those early days. And it's not really a guideline that is hard and fast and I think you're wrong if you're putting out information or I think that you're wrong if you're not posting anything. I think that if you can document your own training and you're getting comfortable just, hey, I did some
figuring shit out.
Yeah, I did some squats today.
Yeah.
And not putting energy and your mental capacity into that and that being something that comes organically as part of working on your business eventually.
Yeah, I think if it takes away from getting busy and doing all the stuff that you're supposed to do to get yourself going, that's a problem.
I say that because I know working with these first year personal trainers and having been that, just how much mental capacity social media takes up.
Yeah.
It's so hard to do well.
And to do it properly, yeah.
Yeah, it's so hard to do well and you're lying to me if you're going to say, oh, it doesn't take that long. I know that even like doing a caption sometimes, I can sit there for like a fucking hour rattling my brain about information I want to put out there.
Yeah.
And that's an hour that you could have better spent, even if it was walking around on the gym floor saying hello to people.
Yeah, especially if you have no clients.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's so, so important to come back to everything we just spoke about.
I didn't know if I was going to bring it up, but
people think that they're busy. You probably, and we're saying like, bro, we do so much more, hard flex, like whatever, been us about it. You probably are.
Yeah.
You're just busy doing the wrong shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're busy spending an hour on a caption that doesn't matter. You're busy creating content that you want other personal trainers to like. You're busy, like,
making spreadsheets that don't matter.
Sitting at reception, talking to the receptionist, making a spreadsheet that doesn't matter, crying on a story because your clients don't check in instead of learning how to actually communicate with them. Like, you probably are busy. You're just doing shit that makes no difference to your outcome.
Yeah.
And you'll feel way less busy when you just boil it down and go, what's the one thing that I could do right now that has the biggest impact on my business?
Yeah. I think.
And then I just to add to your point with the social media stuff, I don't even think it's, the more I reflect on this, the more I don't even think it's for new trainers. I used to be like, maybe your first year you should behave this way. I think now I'm almost thinking about it forever and I'm trying to apply it myself. Make content for your current clients.
Yeah.
Even if it's shit, it'll be better than something that you try and create for an audience.
Or at least your favorite client that you want everyone to be like.
To try and get reach, to try and whatever. It's like, just make shit that your clients will watch and go, that was great, that helped me.
Yeah.
Because there's other people in the world that are like your clients and it will help them too. And it'll take way less emotional, create way less emotional fatigue for you because you don't have to think about what's going to go viral. It's like, it doesn't fucking matter. Just make it for your clients.
Yeah.
You'll get more retention out of that than you would sales out of good content anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And would you rather keep clients for 2 years or have to replace them every 16 weeks?
And it feeds back into exactly what you said, that if you don't have any clients,
yeah,
then that's not what you should be focusing on. Yeah, exactly. Because you've got no one to talk to yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I think that's such a valuable takeaway. So actually you have to understand that you have to apply yourself consistently over time, which we talk about a lot. It's just like the Cert 4 doesn't mean anything.
No.
It's your ticket onto the job site.
Yeah, it's just so you train people and not hurt them.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And you're not going to kill anyone in the gym.
Yeah, we should. You should.
Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second point, don't put your energy into social media
too soon
when you are starting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too soon, because I don't think even starting out is like a good time frame, because you could be 2 years in and be running a shit business and you shouldn't be focusing on social media.
Yeah.
And then I think the third thing is you need goals. And I think that those goals need to be numerical. I think that you need to have goals that are across the board. So you need to have an income goal.
Yeah.
To have an income goal, you need to know, and this is where reverse engineering. So you need to have your income goal of how much you want to earn and then how much you need to earn.
Too, yeah.
I think that it's nice to have a range.
Yep.
You need to know the absolute bare minimum, but that's why we do our first 1K week. Yep. I don't want to earn $1,000, but I want to know how quickly I can get there.
Yeah.
So, you know, having a goal of, cool, I need to be earning this much money. And rather than spending your time sitting in the gym twiddling your thumbs, create your business around, you know, how much you're going to charge per client, how many clients you need.
Yeah.
How many clients you need to, how many people you need to call.
Yeah.
To get that many people in front of you, to get that many people converting to a client, and how long, you know, you're going to keep them there. It's all numbers.
Yeah.
It's all numbers. And then, yeah, sorry, someone going to say something?
Do the fucking thing.
Knowing
what you need to do as well. Like, we say the do the fucking thing, like Tam's got it on his t-shirt. Like, that's really valuable, but I think early on, one of the biggest obstacles is people don't know what that is.
Yeah,
because
and
they don't actually go, like you said, well,
yeah, it's all more clients.
Yeah,
what is more? Because you can have more and have no numbers, but still think more, and then that creates a total like different mindset mentality that can restrict you from being productive.
100%.
So if more clients is $1,000 a week, $1,000 a week means this many clients, this many calls, this many people.
Yeah. We arbitrarily, with the resource that we have available at the moment on the website, again, sccfit.com, your first 1K week, we arbitrarily chose to have $1,000 because I think, in my experience, most personal trainers I've worked with can pay their gym rent, can eat, can survive at home on $1,000 a week. We talked about it the other day, like the median income in Australia is like 48 grand. Mm. So after your personal super contributions, et cetera, you're kind of okay. Like you're making a living.
You're in a position where you have the ability to leverage and have longevity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you're making less than that, it's like you can't one thing can happen.
Yeah, it puts you in big trouble.
You're out of fitness. Yeah.
I think it comes back to what we spoke about with budgeting. The same thing can be applied. If you can create systems that can reliably earn you $1,000, those exact same systems can be leaned on to have your first 5K. Which turns
into 5K. We've got to make 1,000 to make 2. Exactly. So how you make 1,000 is going to influence how you make 2 and 3 and keep it.
I think that, because I know how lost I was when I was, you know, starting out as a PT, and it's like, okay, cool. So I'm working in the morning and I'm working at night, and then in the middle of the day I'm going to train. Mm. And then is it even worth going home? And then you just waste so much time. But if you know that you want to speak to or contact, or, you know, I need 4 clients this week to hit my goal.
Yeah.
Or 4 sessions this week, whatever it is. Or you make a 1 session this week, whatever it is. It's easier to break down those phone calls into, I need to make 10 today.
Yeah.
To hit.
Yeah, it's like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
What do I have to do to get it?
And then it's easier to block your time, because when you hit those goals and you have that awareness of, cool, I've hit my what I need to do. Now, this is what I want to do. This is how much I want to earn. It's so much easier to build on that momentum and know that your business is headed in a direction that you're controlling rather than everywhere. Because it's not hard to be a personal trainer, but it's hard to be a good one. So, like, I refuse to – it's such a saturated industry. But it's really not. There are a lot of people in it, but not a lot of people doing it well.
Saturated, not competitive.
100%.
Easy to stand out.
Standout PT has a good ring to it.
We put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah. There's so much to, like, that saying of, like, it's simple, not easy.
Mm. Yeah.
With so many things. And I think, like, our Q&A each week is really just, like, bringing it back to simple for people.
Yeah.
Just, like, you're making it complicated. For whatever reason, we've done it before, and usually it's to serve yourself. For whatever reason, it's like, take a step back. What actually needs to be done?
Yeah.
What's the lowest hanging fruit in front of you? Well, I don't have, if you don't have a fucking welcome resource for your clients, you don't need to post 4 times a week on Instagram.
Yeah. If you don't,
like, you know what I mean? Like, those fundamental, simple things that aren't sexy. That you can't talk about, and other people are like, oh, good job, bro.
Yeah.
Like, if you are seeking, and we just spoke about STC, internal culture is external validation.
Yeah.
It's all of our love languages. We get it. But you just have to do the gritty work repeatedly, relentlessly over time, and you undoubtedly be successful.
Yeah.
But I'm going to, like, interject there. You probably don't know what the gritty work is, which is why you need to continue learning beyond what your Cert IV teaches you, because you can work really hard, as we've said, and it's not on anything that's going to be beneficial. Mm. So having that undeniable, having those number, I don't know if it's my brain, but I feel like numbers are just the easiest thing to work to. Mm. You do it or you don't. Mm. If you can hit the numbers or you can't hit the numbers, then things have to change.
Yeah.
But I think having that there, knowing that you are taking the right steps and knowing what steps to take based on what you've learned from other people. I was mentored as, you know, a first year PT, like, all of it's not something that I'm just saying because I get paid to do it. No. I had a mentor, for a mentor to get to where I am. I think that when you can listen to and take on board the advice of those other people.
Yeah.
It's just going to take so much stress away from the decisions you have to make day to day.
Yeah.
So much stress.
And the last thing I would add to that is, remember that personal training is a leadership position with your clients. What was Sherelle saying the other day?
I do with you, you do with me.
Yeah.
So if you're a personal trainer, everyone goes, okay, so I have to train. And then I'll train with other people, and then other people will train with me, and then they should be able to train by themselves. And that's really comfortable and easy. But what about I do the things that make me uncomfortable and that are really challenging and that force me to deal with whatever demons I've got or challenges or anything, like just making the phone calls every single week, showing up repeatedly and trust the process and do the basics that you say to your clients 400 times a fucking week. Yeah. Do you do that?
Yeah.
So I do first, do all those uncomfortable things in your business. I think framing it back to that helps me so much. Just like being able to be like, well, if I'm the leader in this situation, this is how, like when I went and did my golf lesson, it's like, oh, this is how people feel when they go to a personal trainer.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if this person's going to be good. I don't know if I can trust them. I don't know if they're going to know what they're fucking talking about.
Yeah.
I'm fucking 90 kilos and 33.
Can I just do it myself without spending the money?
Most of the people that come here are fucking 60 or whatever. Like, there was a lot of, fuck, I actually feel a little bit apprehensive about this. The first time I went and played golf by myself, it was the same. The first time we were telling, I don't know what episode, on an episode, I went in to take a selfie in the soccer room yesterday and a girl followed me in there. And I was like, oh, I'm out. I'm out of here. I'm like, well, that's how my fucking clients feel when I tell them to film.
Yeah.
In the gym floor. Because like, I can turn around and be like, this is my fucking job, bro.
Oh my God, why I'm filming. I can't remember when I was nervous to take gym selfies.
Yeah, 3 days ago. It's my answer.
Pull the scrunch bums up your butt, pose in the mirror.
Well, that was it. Like, the girl came in, was like, scrunch bums jacked. I was like, I'm out.
You're this like, fuck, I'm jacked without my scrunch bums
We're not both doing belfies right now. I'm a leaf.
The key is to flex mid, like, between the sets and keep the camera on and take the screenshot.
Oh. Yeah, but I can't take my shirt off in the gym.
Just flex with it.
Not with that attitude.
Yeah. Fuck, I would be escorted, I'm sure.
Good on you, Tam.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the other little layer I put that. What do you think, Jace? You've been quiet.
Well, it's like I'm quiet because it's just about like everyone's speaking the same parallels. Like we obviously.
You're just nodding along.
Yeah, it's like there's.
Is there anything we haven't said that you're like for a first year PT, the key to success?
No, like we kind of, it's funny. There's so many parallels to training and you guys, we spoke about the last bit, like what's the advice that you would give for training? And it's like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. Like, I think that you can't just walk into something like this and just expect it to be a breeze. Like, I think, you guys have given really good things on practically how to apply it. And I think that once you acknowledge that it's going to be a challenge that's worth taking on, and there's going to be highs and lows that are worth pushing through, you will get onto the other side where your business is easier to maintain because you've built it. You've spent the time building it. You know, that balance of like, how long does it take to build a house? It takes a long time, but if you want to do it in a short period of time, you've got to work really hard to do that. But then maintaining and upkeeping the house, like mowing the lawns and making sure that it's clean and blah, blah, blah. It's like that doesn't take anywhere near the amount of effort and time that it took to make it.
Yeah.
So if you do the same thing in your business and you know there's going to be ups and downs, you'll have this thing that you get to choose how long you're in it for and when you and what you want to do with it, whether you want to take it to another level or you want to move on because it wasn't for you. You get that power. You don't lose that power and leave because you didn't set things up properly and money is the reason, or not having enough clients is why you exit.
Yeah. Slay.
Lots of...
I'm hypo. I can't talk.
Hungry.
My eyes are burning. My body needs.
I snacked between the
my
two.
My body I'm needs right. protein. Jace. I am
for
like.
Jace just like, help.
It's 2 minutes past 12. It's over.
Like, I'm like, Tam, I should have taken you up on that Energize, whatever it was. Yeah, I'm fucked.
For the ear people, Jason is rocking back and forth with his hands.
My palms are sweating. It's like my body is like, you need protein, bro. Yeah.
Well, on that note of healthy, successful people.
Plan your meals.
All right. Should put that on your to-do list.
We'll wrap it up because we're getting there anyway. Really so late. Thank you, Jess, for coming out. Yeah. Appreciate your time always.
Thanks.
We'll be hearing more of Jess on the potty though, so we won't be able to refer to her as Voldemort because we're going to be Fridays.
She'll be a regular guest.
She can come out a bit more. Yeah. Also, we've talked a lot of smack today about how great we are, but there's free shit that actually gives you the system of what we do available online right now. So it's called Your First 1K Week, which is available on the website.
Your STC First Fit.
Jesus. Your First 1K Week is available on stcfit.com. It's a 7-part video series that goes through exactly what we've seen over 12 years on our own, 8 years mentoring other people, what you need to get to that first $1,000 in the shortest time possible, $1,000, like we said, it's arbitrary. You can take it to two, you can take it to three. It's the same system. We just thought if we wrote 2,000, you'd get scared. So jump on, download it. It's free. Jess has done a great job presenting it, so enjoy that.
Yay.
All right, see you next time, guys.
Ciao.
I'm going to get some sugar.